Fisteria has been called the cell from hell. In the 1990s, it was linked to the sudden death of hundreds of millions of fish on the East Coast. Something produced by this little swimming cell seemed to affect people, too. Some fishermen said they'd be driving home and then suddenly forget where they were going. The government is spending tens of millions of dollars to study Fisteria, and after years of research, a new property of the cell from hell is now apparent. It has a knack for goading scientists into very bitter arguments. NPR's David Kestenbaum reports that some researchers think Fisteria may simply be guilty by association.
Fisteria has been nicknamed the Phantom because of its apparent ability to change from one form into another. One study illustrated 23 different shapes Fisteria could assume, with a complicated storm of arrows pointing from one to another. A round cyst could morph into a creeping amoeba, which could mutate into a swimming thing with a tail. But even this basic research is in question.
We can't replicate it. And I'm one of four labs that hasn't been able to replicate it either.
Wayne Leitaker is a fisheries biologist with NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. For one study, he went to a laboratory fish tank and plucked out what he thought were Fisteria in two forms, the wiggling swimming form called the dinospore and its amoeba form.
And what we did is we kept them for a year and we kept expecting them to do some sort of transition. We tried all sorts of tricks to get the dinospore to turn into an amoeba and the amoeba to turn into the dinospore.
But they couldn't. Genetic tests revealed a simple explanation. The amoeba were entirely unrelated organisms, something else living in the tank with the fish. Leitaker worries that this kind of contamination may be a problem in a lot of Fisteria research. Maybe it wasn't Fisteria that killed all those fish. Maybe it was something else. Joanne Burkholder, a marine biologist at North Carolina State University who first identified many of the phantom forms, says Leitaker is simply using the wrong strain of Fisteria. Only certain strains go through the 23 stages.
Other people have verified this in their own laboratories, and they have published their data in the peer-reviewed literature.
Leitaker says he'd like to get his hands on the right strain.
Myself and other researchers have repeatedly requested that we get the cultures from Dr. Burkholder, who says only certain strains do this, and she has not shared them with the general community. And so we can't, you know, NOAA would love to have the opportunity to, you know, to test her strains and see whether we can, you know, confirm her hypothesis. We just can't do that.
Burkholder says her lab has shared Fisteria samples with 17 other labs. She could share it more widely if she had more money, she says. Stocks of Fisteria are hard to maintain.
They must be maintained in biohazard level 3 containment systems. They have to be grown with fish, which they kill, and they lose toxicity over a short period of time once they're isolated from their natural habitat.
This is just the most recent argument in the Fisteria world. In the past, there have been allegations of scientists lying on grant applications, even stealing cells from other people's labs. Research money, reputations are at stake, not to mention fish and human health. What would really clear things up is if scientists could identify a deadly toxin made by Fisteria. Howard Glasgow, a marine biologist at North Carolina State University, is pretty sure that toxin exists. When he was working with Fisteria in the lab in the early 90s, he suffered memory lapses and even developed skin lesions. The fish that died in the wild often had big open wounds.
We have done just multitudes of tests in absence of any other diagnosis that seems to be that the most likely cause of the problems that I have experienced are the exposure to Fisteria.
Other researchers say they have isolated a toxin from Fisteria. John Ramsdell, a toxicologist with NOAA, says he can't prove this is what killed the fish in the wild, but so far it fits the bill.
When we add this purified toxin to fish in a small container, the fish will go through movements and disorientation, very similar to what is seen in the tanks that have the Fisteria present.
But this toxin, like Fisteria itself, can be elusive. It's hard to get Fisteria to make it unless there are fish around. And if there are fish around, there's always the possibility of contamination from other organisms. Ellen Silbergeld, the toxicologist at Johns Hopkins University, is part of another team that's had a hard time getting Fisteria to produce a toxin.
It could be, as some have argued, that this is really a, quote, stealth organism and that it's very unpredictable. Or it may be that we're barking up the wrong tree.
The argument that Fisteria is simply a tricky organism to work with has begun to wear a little thin. Silbergeld says scientists who believe it's the culprit will have to do better.
You know, at a certain point, it's kind of like my continuous arguments with my daughter, where she says it's up to me to disprove the existence of the Loch Ness Monster. And I said, no, no, it's up to you to prove its existence.
The scientists who feel they've already proven Fisteria is the cell from hell will have to keep plugging away. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.